Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number three. I'm Jim Galante, along with Dustin Hawkinsmith. And Dustin, this week on our show, not just today, but through the week, we're going to do something a little bit different. I'm going to ask you and all the other guys the same question. And we'll find out who has the best answer. And real simple, it's what is it going to take for Penn State to have a successful season? To me, I'm thinking, boy, if they could get to 10 wins, that would be a great season. The question to you, though, is what's it going to take to get there?
That's fair, and I think you do have to define, you know, each of us, what is the definition of success. And I do think with such a wide range of outcomes for this team, I tend to agree with you that 10 wins would be a very successful season. I don't know if you can look at what this team has and what the question marks are and reasonably expect to be near that college football playoff conversation. I'm just not sure this is the year or that team to do that. That in mind, I've got five items on my list that I would work through, and not all of them I think will be news to people's ears, but you know, first and foremost, I mean, the number one issue is that Sean Clifford's got to be better. You know, I think part of that process is Mike Yurcich installing the offense, you know, and it's a race against the clock to be able to get to a comfortable place for week one going to Wisconsin. But the install doesn't mean a whole lot if you do not have the right guy to lead the offense. And, you know, we've heard some good things. We've heard some not good things about Clifford. The good stuff always seems to be, hey, he wants to lead. He wants to work hard. He's the first guy on the practice field, blah, 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 blah. We hear that a lot. We haven't heard a ton in terms of, hey, Sean Clifford is processing things better than he ever has before. You know, those are the breadcrumbs that people want to hear right about now, is that Sean Clifford, from a mental perspective, is further along now than he was last year. Because the start of last year was probably going to give some Penn State fans PTSD to start this year. It was a very, very rocky start. A lot of stuff was working against Sean Clifford then. But the bottom line to me is that this offense, when you look at Jahan Dotson and Parker Washington, you know, you can reasonably expect somebody to step into and be a good number three option there. You look at the two tight ends and what they're capable of doing, being multifaceted weapons, Theo Johnson and Brenton Strange. You can mix and match your running backs. I think you have some questions that up front along the offensive line, but at the same time, you know, Juice Scruggs looks like a starter to me. So really, you're just looking for one new starter on the inside. All these elements are in place here for this to be a very, very good offense. But Sean Clifford has to be able to execute that at a high level. And if he's not able to execute at the high level, you can't hide him, but you have to kind of take into consideration what you did last year, where you sort of took him out of the equation a little bit. Take him out of situations where he's got to make a lot of decisions. Let him manage the game. Can Penn State's offense be really, really good with Sean Clifford simply managing the game? I think that remains to be seen. But there's a lot of good pieces here. He's got to execute this thing.
There is no doubt that that's probably issue 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 is the quarterback play. And Sean Clifford definitely has to be better. Let's look at a few of the other items that you have on your list, Dustin. And you put it this way, the pass rush needs to be competent. How confident are you going to be that they are? This is after not only losing their top defensive ends, but the returning defensive end, Adisa Isaac, appears to be out for most, if not all, of the season.
I think there's some urgency here, and I have some major questions about how all this comes together. They need a lot of optimal outcomes here. All along, I think, the defensive line, but especially at those end spots. It looked and felt a lot different to me when you're saying, okay, Adisa Isaac, I think he's ready to make the jump into a really, really good player. Not just a really, really talented player, but a really good player. And now you pair him with a guy who's making the jump from Temple. He's raising his level. He's getting to the Big Ten. Coaches are saying and all the right things about Arnold Ibikidi. But it's one thing to say, like, okay, I think he can be a really good sidekick to Adisa Isaac, who I think could be a star in the Big Ten. Now you're saying, okay, we need Arnold Ibikidi to be the leader of this defensive end group. We need him to be the most disruptive guy that we've got. So that's kind of a big ask for him. It looks like maybe he's capable of delivering that. But now you're looking, okay, Nick Tarburton, I think he would be a great bench option. Somebody who could really set the edge and who's physical. They talk about his violent hands. I mean, this is a nice package for a guy who can play a bunch of quality snaps. Now you're saying, okay, maybe he's your starter at defensive end. So every single player in this defensive end rotation kind of comes with questions about whether they can handle what their role is going to be. And, you know, I would go back to last year and say that we said the same thing about wide receivers, and that turned out okay. So maybe John Scott Jr. really makes the most of this situation. But I don't know that you can go into week one and say with certainty that this group is going to be good or this group's going to be able to pressure the passer. I mean, I have a lot of questions about this, and I think that's why you're seeing – you know, Hakeem Beamon is less than 260 pounds. I think you're going to see him in some kind of hybrid role to lend some support to this defensive end rotation. Jesse Luketa, you're going to see him pull double duty, sometimes play in that middle linebacker spot, sometimes line up at defensive end, move around the formation a little bit to cause some confusion. They're getting creative because I think they have to get creative to try to make the most of what parts they have here. If there was a ton of confidence in this defensive end rotation, I'm not sure you'd see some of these other adjustments. So it's a group that has to prove itself without a doubt.
And also, Dusty, the last couple of years with recruiting, we talked about they were bringing in kids with potential, but it might take a couple of years. Well, guess what? This is the year we got to start seeing that potential come to fruition, and names like Smith Vilbert, who is going to step up among the group. The other thing, Dustin, that you mentioned about it needs to come together by September 4th because they have the Wisconsin game. I just want to point out something that probably supports that. Penn State is favored in 9 of the 12 games. Ohio State, let's set that aside for now. They're a double-digit underdog. But they have 4 games that the point spreads are less than a touchdown. Wisconsin and Iowa on the road, they're 3-point underdogs. Auburn and Indiana at home, they're 4 and 5 point favorites. If they're going to reach 10 wins, they got to find a way to win 3 out of those 4 games. And Wisconsin, first game, is on that list.
Yeah, it's a schedule that's really interesting. It doesn't start with any time to find a rhythm because, you know, look at Wisconsin, even Ball State, Auburn. I mean, there are no real breaks in the action. They're all scattered throughout the year. Indiana, Iowa, Wisconsin, Ohio State, Michigan. So there's no time to get the ball rolling nice and easily and slowly on your own schedule. There's no time to be able to deal with and work through mistakes. You need to be ready for this. And I would say that goes on both sides of the ball. I think Mike Yurcich in this offense is the big storyline because of how last year went and how ill-prepared that offense was to start the year. So obviously on that side, but there's also a bunch of new pieces on defense too. These guys need to be ready to play. They need to be ready to put on their hard hat and get physical in that first week. And that's going to be an interesting dynamic too because you know what Wisconsin's going to try to do to you. You can game plan and you can talk about it till you're blue in the face. You can practice it. But until you line up and you've got 5 330-pound dudes mauling you in the trenches, I mean, you can only do so much preparation. These guys are going to want to come out and set a tone and be more physical than you and establish their toughness on you. Are you ready for that? There's a bunch of different ways that this team has to come together by the 4th of September. And then I would also just say, if it were to go sideways in week one, if they don't execute, if they lose a heartbreaker, for example, you also need to learn your lesson from last year and not let that linger into future weeks too. So the challenge is kind of twofold: being ready to win, also being ready to lose that game and still be ready for the rest of your schedule.
That's an interesting way to put it: being ready to lose and be able to bounce back from it. Ironically, we always talk about Wisconsin and they do the pounding. Penn State, you think, needs to also rely on that running game early?
I think early on, for sure. I think it could be something that they need to lean on the entire year. And I don't think there's any shame if you're saying Sean Clifford maybe isn't that guy to be to put the offense on his back, right? Sean Clifford might never be the guy that you just ride his right arm to victory. And that's okay. I mean, a lot of teams kind of win that way. They've got what looks to be a winning combination in the running game. If they're able to really establish themselves up front and be a dominant group in the trenches along the offensive line, then I think you're very capable of doing this. But I think especially early in the year, that's something that you can build around and you can lean on that. You can set the tone. You can establish play action. You can do some things so the other defense is really gearing up to stop that running game and maybe help Sean Clifford out a little bit. Maybe take the heat off him some. Maybe you're keeping guys, you're keeping a big formation with two tight ends and you're keeping guys home to block to help out with that. I think that's going to be part of Penn State's winning combination early, is not unleashing the full brunt of Sean Clifford, but saying, okay, we've got five running backs here. We're looking to narrow that down to three. Noah Kane can be one of the best in the nation. Let's ride that group and allow Sean Clifford the time he needs to maybe to get up into game rhythm.
And finally, Dustin, you think that Penn State needs a couple guys on defense to step up and be stars?
I think Brandon Smith and PJ Mustipher is their time right now. I think that you can talk about depth, you can talk about scheme and strategy, but at the end of the day, I mean, you need guys who are going to do disruptive stuff on the football field. And I think maybe that was a little bit lacking last year without Micah Parsons. Brandon Smith needs to slide into that. We've seen him, we've seen glimpses of doing that. We've seen, I think, what I could call inconsistency in him doing that, disappearing for long stretches at a time. He needs to be a dominant force. And I think the same thing with PJ Mustipher. No knock to what he's done this far, but I think he needs to step into a place where he's not just a really solid player, a really solid piece up front. He needs to be a dominator. He needs to be able to occupy blockers. He needs to be able to penetrate and make plays in the backfield. That whole D-line is kind of depending on him being a force. And both these guys, I think, need to step into that. Yeah, I think you can maybe say some others as well, but those two for sure for me, you need some star power on defense. Those are two prime candidates to do it, and Penn State needs them to step into that.
A year ago, it was people like Micah Parsons, Jason Owe. They going in, you felt you had a couple stars there. This year, and we all know how that turned out, this year, those are the guys, I guess, along with Jaquan Brisker, who have to really be the leaders.
Yeah, Brisker, I think, is going to have a big year. I think the cornerbacks are good. You need to pressure the passer. You need to be able to own the box. And I think you need some guys to step into that. PJ Mustipher and Brandon Smith, if they do that, Penn State's defense got a shot here.
Very good, Dustin. That is it for quarter number three. In quarter number four, we're going to break down the quarterback depth. Stay tuned for that. Fans are back, and so is tailgating. That means GoPSURV.com is also back. Regular listeners of Keystone Sports know all about it. Drive your car to Happy Valley, and an RV is there waiting for you. Tailgate nonstop from Friday to Sunday. Don't hassle with parking, as a free shuttle will take you to and from the game. For more info, go to GoPSURV.com or call Mark at 1-800-519-8467.
Hey y'all, it's Blake Shelton here, introducing y'all to the all-new American Brewed Smithworks Hard Seltzer Lemonade. Made for days when schedules are empty and coolers are full, Smithworks Hard Seltzer Lemonade is a perfect choice for celebrating good times. Available now in four Heartland-inspired flavors. Check out smithworksusa.com for a store nearest you.
Premium malt beverage with natural flavors. 5% ABV. Copyright 2021 Smithworks Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.